This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. When it comes to cancer, we've come a long way. Scientists have learned more about cancer in the last two decades than had been learned in all the centuries preceding. Only a few decades ago, the prognosis for people facing cancer was not nearly as favorable as it is today. During the 1970s, one of two people diagnosed with cancer survived at least 5 years. Now more than two of three survive that long, and more than 14 million cancer survivors exist in the United States alone. Advancements have come in all aspects of cancer prevention, screening, early detection, and most of all, an array of treatment modalities. And here with an overview of where we've come from and where we are with respect to cancer is Dr. Leslie Coleman, thoracic surgeon and the medical director of the Upstate Cancer Center. Welcome, Dr. Coleman.
Thanks for coming here. It's good to be here.
So from where you sit, I thought it would be most illuminating to take a look from a historical perspective at cancer. Let's start with screening. Where have we come with screening techniques?
Well, for so many centuries and even millennia, cancer was known, but there was no way to detect it early. Screening is to find cancer before it has become advanced. And we have excellent screening for a few forms of cancer now. The first was cervical cancer with the Pap smear, named for Dr. George Papanicolaou, and this showed precancerous changes in scrapings from the uterine cervix. This is now widely accepted all around the world and is not used even today in low and middle-income countries to the extent that it should be, and cervical cancer is actually the biggest cancer killer of women in sub-Saharan Africa.
Wow.
Then we came along with mammography in the 1970s, and deaths from breast cancer began to fall because the breast cancers we were treating were in earlier stages.
How about things like lung cancer? I know you've been involved in a lung cancer screening
Very modality. Recently, we know that a low-dose CT scan of the lungs can detect lung cancer in its early stages. And we here at Upstate have a screening for lung cancer center of excellence. And just this month, Medicare approved this for Medicare recipients at no copays or deductibles, so we should be seeing a lot more people able to get their lung cancer.
And things like colonoscopy and cancer of the rectum and the colon, obviously,
we have several tests,
huge difference.
Several screening tests for those, and we all want to have 80% of all people over age 50 screened for colon cancer by 2018.
So let's move on to some treatments. Let's start with surgical intervention. Give us a historical perspective on surgery. I mean, what were they doing and how has it evolved over time?
Well, surgery is the first treatment that was ever applied to cancer. And for most of our human history, it's been the only treatment applied to cancer. And it didn't make much progress over the millennia until the development of anesthesia and antisepsis in the 1850s. Then people understood cancer to be a disease of its location. And if you cut it out, the patient will be cured. There was no understanding of cancer spreading from its original location through the bloodstream.
So they knew nothing of metastases.
Nothing about that. And so if the patients continued to die, the operation got bigger and bigger. For instance, the Halsted radical mastectomy, which was a huge operation, removing all the muscles of the chest wall and sometimes the clavicle for breast cancer,
my goodness.
Which did not solve the problem because the cancer had escaped from the breast and gone throughout the body.
So that one concept of learning about metastases really altered the whole perspective of surgical intervention.
Right, and since then, operations have gotten smaller and smaller. They still need to be good and thorough depending on the organ, but they don't need to be as radical as they have been sometimes in the past because of the extra treatments we now have available.
And we're doing so many more things minimally invasive. Tell us about some of the different procedures that are done endoscopically or laparoscopically.
Right. Laparoscopic surgery was first applied to cancer of the colon, and many colon and colorectal cancers are now taken care of through laparoscopic surgery, a few small incisions in the abdomen. Many lung cancer operations are done through through a few small incisions in the chest. And this has been applied to many other forms of cancer, gynecologic cancer, such as uterine cancer. Most of that is done minimally invasively and even robotically, prostate cancer. So the incisions are getting smaller and the operation can be the same.
And has the additional development in imaging made a big difference in this?
It's made a huge difference because we very rarely anymore have a surgeon finding unexpected findings at opening an abdomen or a chest, because we can tell almost always, not 100%, but most of the time, what we're going in after. And this means that many people for whom surgery has no hope of helping them avoid an unnecessary operation, which means they can get to their other treatments sooner.
So that whole idea of exploratory surgery has basically gone by the wayside.
It's very rare that we come away not able to accomplish at least something.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Leslie Coleman, Medical Director of Upstate's Cancer Center. We're talking about the history of cancer, where we've been and where we are now. So surgery, we've gone much less invasive, minimally invasive. We have all different kinds of technology that's helping us so patients can have less incisions, less hospital time, less bleeding, faster recovery. That's pretty dramatic. How about things like hormone therapy? What exactly is that, and what kind of inroads have we made there?
Well, we know that some cancers, in particular breast cancer and prostate cancer, which are the most common cancers in women and in men throughout the world, are created in part based on the hormonal environment in which they grow. And we have learned that in some cases we can manipulate that hormonal environment to keep the cancer under control. And men whose prostate cancer has spread outside the prostate, for instance, to the bones, can have their bone pain and bone disease controlled for many years by hormonal manipulation, injections mostly now. Women with breast cancer very, very frequently receive anti-estrogenic hormones for 5 and now even 10 years.
Wow.
After their original treatment with surgery, chemo, and radiation.
So that hormone therapy really has
it
a very
really
big place.
It really works in those two diseases and possibly some others in the future.
How about radiologic treatment?
Well, after surgery, radiation therapy was the next therapy to come, and experiments were going on with radium, and it causes cancer in very high doses, such as in
right.
Marie Curie, its developer, but it also was found to cure cancer in some cases. Now we've done the same thing with radiation therapy that we've done with surgery, that is, made it much, much more precise and learned who to apply it to. And we have three different kinds of very modern radiation machines here at Upstate. And one of them is one of only three in the country where we can pinpoint the tumor precisely in three dimensions plus time, so that the rays of the treatment are going only to the malignant tissue.
And they can't harm, they don't harm any.
And they have much reduced harm to normal tissues. So radiation is much more precise and safe. But like surgery, it only addresses the cancer in its location.
So the point is, it's really an incredible augmentation to surgery.
It's another local therapy.
So how about chemo? Because that is the big, right. You know, the big area in the room, so to speak. I don't want to run out of time. Give us an overview. Where did we come from with chemotherapy? How did we know to use these kinds of chemicals?
Well, chemotherapy was basically developed in the 1950s in the basement of the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston by a pathologist who thought he knew how to manipulate the cells of childhood leukemia. And in those days, 95% or more of children with cancer died of it. Now we've completely reversed that, and 95% of kids with cancer survive.
That's amazing.
But chemotherapy began solely as a treatment for childhood leukemia, and it began to work. And then the research expanded. And eventually, in about the 1970s, people began to apply this to adult solid tumors, such as breast, lung, colon. And we found that in some cases, it does have an effect. It's not as effective as in childhood leukemia in terms of cure, but it definitely responds, and we've developed combination therapy. We found that often two drugs together are more effective than one alone. We've discovered the correct doses, how long to continue the therapy, and how to counteract some of the very serious side effects that were present in the early days of chemotherapy.
What do we mean when we talk about immunotherapy? How is that different?
Immunotherapy is a way to harness the body's own immune defenses to fight off the cancer. And there are different ways. One is to give various drugs that accelerate the immune response against a particular cancer. There's another, giving vaccines to people targeted at a specific cancer that they've had. And a third way is to take the patient's own cancer and immunize them against it.
Wow.
Now, some of the general agents are currently in use against certain cancers that are more related to the immune system than others, such as kidney cancer, melanoma, and various cancers of the lymph glands. It has not shown to be effective yet for lung cancer and some of the other more common solid organ tumors.
But we're in process in terms of developing this whole thing.
There's a great deal of research going on about this right now.
How about targeted therapy? You know, we talk about targeted therapy, trying to figure out exactly what the cell type is and develop specific drugs that will go right to that target.
Right. Up till now, for the 50 or so years that chemotherapy's been in existence, it kills all the malignant cells and a lot of the normal cells. Targeted therapy is drug therapy designed for the cellular cycle of a specific cancer. So if you know that, for instance, a lung cancer divides in a certain fashion and requires a certain receptor to do this, you develop a drug that attacks only that receptor on those cancer cells. So we have two or three different drugs for lung cancer. We have two or three for different types of cancers. We don't have nearly as many targeted agents as we need. We know the pathways. We know the genetic changes. We just need the drugs, and that's why we need the research.
So then what are the new frontiers, basically? What are we trying to do? What still is left to be done?
The new frontiers in cancer medicine, first of all, personalized therapy so that your treatment is for your cancer. Second of all, we need to accelerate the discovery of these things with funding for research, which has been cut dramatically in recent years, and we must overcome that. Thirdly, although people who have insurance or money or live in certain areas, have very good outcomes from many cancers, those in lower socioeconomic groups do not have the same good results. So the disparities in cancer treatment and cancer outcomes is a frontier that we as a leading nation in the world must conquer.
Very well said, eloquently said. And thank you so much for this wonderful overview. I think I've learned a tremendous amount. My guest has been Dr. Leslie Coleman, thoracic surgeon and the medical director for the Upstate Cancer Center. Thanks so much for coming in. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.